Sam was really, really little, they would go and they would camp out. It was called Carney Camp Out. That's Sam's maiden name. This last year, this last summer, things kind of were a little different. And Carney Camp Out wasn't happening, but Sam and I went, you know what? We're still going to go down to the lake. We're still going to camp out. And so we went out there with Sam's sister and her husband and our little baby nephew, and it was a great time. And Saturday night was our night to cook. And we had gone out to Costco. We gotten two huge things of chickens. Sam was so excited. She was basting this chicken all day long in her amazing world-famous barbecue sauce. And it came time to put the chicken on the grill, and like, this is a huge grill, like 3-4 feet long. And Sam puts like all, like hundreds of basted chicken on the grill. And it, like, you could just smell it coming down the road. And I don't know how they heard it, but Sam's whole family heard that Sam was cooking that night. And they all got in their trucks and their cars, Ford, of course, because that's the best car out there, and drove down to the lake. And you could smell it as you were coming in. And we all sat there in anticipation, our mouths drooling for this amazing barbecued chicken. And Sam, you know, starts taking the chicken off of the grill and putting on a plate on, you know, that side table that's on every single barbecue. And she gets to the last piece of chicken. And she puts it on, and we're all sitting with our backs to Sam. And we just hear, no, 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 no! Because that side table, under the weight of all that chicken, had collapsed. And all that beautiful, day-long basted barbecue chicken fell not into grass or dirt, but into those little pebbles. And the yes, oh yes. And we all turned around, and there was Sam with bottles of water pouring it on the chicken, trying to clean it off, throwing it back on the grill and charring it to get anything, you know, dead spiders and whatever dirt was on the rocks off of it. And that night we had a feast of table scraps. And today we're also going to feast on table scraps. In the time of Jesus, it was the tradition when a banquet was happening for the hosts to open their doors to the poor and the needy so that they could come in and eat the table scraps. This morning, we who are poor in spirit and in need of the truth of Christ, we're going to come to this banquet and we're going to feast on the table scraps. There are three breadcrumbs this morning that we're going to dig into. The first, you are made free and freedom is freely given. The second, God cares about what is inside of us. And the third, it's a both feet kind of faith. Before we dig into the first table crumb, I want to talk about Christmas. Kind of weird as we're ramping up to Easter to talk about Christmas. Pastor Nate, we've already been here. We've already done that. But there's a specific Christmas that I want to tell you about. It's actually the first Christmas that Sam and I were together. We were together. We were at Sam's parents' place. And Sam's parents are very thoughtful with their gifts. And this Christmas, they got us a tent. And as you know, we already like cooking. We already like cooking chicken. But we also really like camping as well. And so they got us a tent. And Sam specifically loves tents. There will be times when we're sitting on the couch and we're watching Netflix or whatever's on TV, and I'll look over and Sam's searching through Amazon looking at tents. And I'm like, we don't need another tent. And she goes, but babe, this tent is really cool. We need this tent. And so Sam's parents got us a really, really great tent, a Christmas gift that was free. But although it was free, it still came at a cost for Sam's parents. They had to save up for this tent. They had to go out and search for this tent. It was freely given, but it came at a cost. Our first breadcrumb, you are made free, and that freedom is freely given. But it comes at a cost. Now, usually with a sermon, you start at the beginning and work your way to the end. But I'm a movie buff and a TV buff. And I really like those episodes that start at the end and work their way to the beginning. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to start at the end of this passage and work our way to the beginning. And so we'll start here at the very end, verses 47 to 50. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. There's two very important things here that Jesus says. First, he says, her many sins have been forgiven. And the last words he says to this woman is, go in peace. And it's important to understand these two things as we begin to dig into our first breadcrumb. You are made free, and freedom is freely given. You see, this woman is described at the very beginning of this passage as a woman in that town who lived a sinful life. She's known in this town by her sin. That's what defines her to these people. So much so that the Pharisee who Jesus is eating with, when he sees this woman touching Jesus, he says to himself about Jesus, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. The town and this Pharisee in this town view this woman as a sinner. That's who she is. That's the label she's been given. And then Jesus speaks to her and says, your sins are forgiven. That label that has been chained to you is broken. You're free from it. In Psalm 107, verse 14, it says, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. God frees us from those bonds of sin, just like he did with this woman. You are made free. We are made free. A contemporary voice, Chris Tomlin, who writes contemporary hymns, said it this way, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. You see, Jesus is about God's work of release, freeing us, freeing this woman of those bonds, of those chains of sin. She is made free, and this freedom is freely given. He says to her, your sins are forgiven, you're made free. Now go in peace. There's an implication here that she will continue in that freedom. Not go and be free for a little while. Go in peace and, you know, enjoy it while it lasts, because those chains are going to come back. No, he simply says, go in peace. It is a freedom that lasts forever. In Galatians 5, verse 1, and 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, Paul puts it this way, for freedom Christ has set us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If we are in Christ, the Spirit of God is in us. And if the Spirit of God is in us, we are made free. But that freedom comes at a cost. Not on us, though. You see, Jesus says to the woman, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love shows. The woman could do nothing to get this freedom. It's not because of her great love she's made free. Her great love is a reaction to the forgiveness. This freedom that she's given is given to her freely by Christ. The freedom that came at a cost through his death and resurrection on the cross. Just like that tent that Sam's parents got us. It was freely given to us, but it came at a cost for them, the ones that were giving it. They saved up. They paid. They went to the store. Jesus willingly paid for our sins so that we can be made free. This freedom that is freely given. We love because he first loved us. He is the one that gives us the freedom. He is the one that paid the cost so that we may be made free and so that we may do the thing that we are made to do, to love. If you were to come to our house today, you would see this picture right here. Which is a pretty accurate depiction of our front porch. Sam actually made this slide, and she took time meticulously to make it look like our front porch. And so if you were to come past our house, you would see this, a porch set up for Christmas. We just haven't gotten around to taking down the decorations. But on the inside of our house, our Christmas tree isn't still set up. Our decorations have been taken down, and our house is set up for the function of living. You see, because it's not functional to have a Christmas tree still up around this time. If you were to go past our house, you would see this And really, it's on the inside of our house what matters. Because we don't live on the outside of our house. We don't live on our porch. We live on the inside. This brings us to our second breadcrumb. God cares about what is inside of us. In verses 39 to 40, it says, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Did you catch that? He said to himself. Simon the Pharisee isn't saying this out loud. He's thinking this in his head. And then Jesus answers him. Jesus knows what's going on inside of him. And he begins to tell him a parable in the next few verses. And so now that we have our Bibles in the chairs, why don't we open up to Luke chapter 7, verse 40. And if there's not a Bible, you can flip to it on your phone. And let's read what Jesus tells Simon the Pharisee together. So starting at verse 40, Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. So Simon says to himself, this woman's a sinner. Jesus should know this. And Jesus, knowing what's going on the inside of Simon, answers him in this way. And it's interesting what he replies. I suppose. This implies that Simon is beginning to understand what Jesus is getting at here. Isn't it the same that when we were little kids and our parents told us something that we didn't really like to hear, but was true, we would say, I suppose, Mom and Dad, I suppose you're right. We began to get uncomfortable because it revealed the truth of what was going on inside of us. And that's what Jesus is doing here. Because in this time, and really in Luke's gospel, Luke is revealing who the Pharisees are. That they're these individuals that really put a show on the outside. They would walk around in extravagant clothes and would walk around, you know, kind of looking really great and clean and following all the right rules on the outside. But God cares about what is inside of us. Not necessarily the show that we put on. In Matthew 23, 25 to 26, this is what Jesus says about the Pharisees and specifically about the outside and the inside. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean." God cares about what's inside of us, because what's inside of us will begin to show what's on the outside of us. In 1 Samuel 15:22, it says, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than that of the fat of rams." What is being said here is the practice, the outside practice of sacrifice, for sacrifice's sake, doesn't matter. It's the heart behind the sacrifice. It's the reason the sacrifice is being made. In Hosea 6:6, it says, "For I desire mercy," which can also be translated as steadfast love, "not sacrifice." And then again in Matthew 9, verse 13, Jesus reiterates this because he's trying to drive home this point. God cares about what's on the inside of us. He says, "But go and learn what this means, for I desire mercy," steadfast love, "not sacrifice." The practice for the practice's sake doesn't matter to God. The heart behind the practice is what matters. Coming to church for coming to church's sake, that's not what God actually cares about. He cares about why you're coming to church, why you're reading your Bible. God cares about what is inside of us. Jesus, after talking to Simon, he then says, as he turns towards the woman, "Do you see this woman? Because I do. And I see what's on inside of her, not just the outside." God cares about what is inside of us. When Sam and I first got together in 2017, Sam said to me, "If we're going to date, I'm going to be both feet in. I'm going to be fully committed to this. And Nate, if you're going to date me, you've got to be both feet in too. You've got to be fully committed to our relationship." And I was. So much so that I saved up money one summer. I worked the entire summer. I bought her the ring that reminded me the most of her, and I proposed. So much so that when I proposed, I woke her up at 4 a.m. and brought her to a sunset over a lake. I was both feet in. And it's a both feet in kind of faith. It's a full commitment. And we see this at the beginning of this passage. In verses 37 to 38, "A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them." She was both feet in. She came intentionally knowing that Jesus was there. She was weeping. Now, she wasn't just crying. The Greek word here that's used implies like a shower of rain on Jesus' feet. His feet were soaked. And then she took out her hair and dried his feet with her hair. And she kissed them. It was tradition for when you would enter a house of someone, they would give you a kiss of greeting on the cheek. She wasn't just doing that. She was kissing Jesus' feet profusely. It's implied that she was kissing them the moment she got there. But the most important thing is that she poured a rare perfume on his feet. A perfume that would have cost a year's worth of wages. This woman was all in. This woman was both feet in. She was fully committed. Matthew 6, verse 27 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other." It's a both feet in kind of faith. It's not just a, you know what, I'm going to kind of commit. You know, today I'm going to be all in for Jesus, but tomorrow I'm too busy for Jesus. It's a both feet in kind of faith. It's a faith of devotion. It's a faith, as Paul says in Romans 1, verse 16, "I am not ashamed of it. I'm not afraid of being fully committed. I'm not afraid of what it makes me look like to others." That's the same with this woman. Culturally, what she was doing was a big, big no-no. Women had to have their hair covered, lest they tempt men. Her hair was uncovered as she wiped Jesus' feet. Women didn't put on a big display, and although she wasn't putting on a big display for anybody, she was making a big deal of what she was doing. She poured this rare perfume on his feet, and not just a little squirt, but the whole bottle. And I don't know about you, but when I walk past Bath and Body Works, that's the one. The names are too similar. When I walk past that store, the scent of it just overwhelms me. That's what this would have been like, probably. Because she's poured this whole jar of perfume on Jesus' feet, and it would have filled the whole room. And everybody there would have smelt it. Everybody there would have known what was going on. But she wasn't ashamed. She had both feet in. She was fully committed to Jesus. So what about us? We are made free, and freedom is freely given by Christ. And by doing that, what begins to happen is there's a change in us on the inside. And this change begins to overflow into our life. We begin to have both feet in. It begins to change us. Just like it changed this woman, we are free from sin. This Sunday traditionally is Palm Sunday. Earlier, the kids were waving the palms. We've got palms up here. And Palm Sunday is a celebratory day. It's a day when we celebrate Jesus coming into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. When people were waving palms, the dust was in the air, the excitement was in the air. And today, that same excitement is here. In celebration of what Jesus was going to do. As he would go to the cross, willingly dying for us so that we might be free. So that we might be unchained from sin and God could begin to do an amazing work inside of us so that we could be fully committed to Him. And so this morning, we have feasted on these table scraps. You are made free and freedom is freely given. God cares about what is inside of us, and it's a both feet kind of faith. Let's pray.